Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 45 of Breaking In. I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
And we have better improved our recording over the internet. Cheryl is in Long Beach right now, and I am in the fabulous Hollywood. We could not get to recording like we normally do this weekend because we had shit to do, people. Lots of shit to do.
So much tiring shit, too. Yeah. Not just shit.
It got to the point where we were like, oh, we got to go back and do the show. And we were like, yeah, no, we've exhausted ourselves to no end. And given the fact that I'm super jealous that Cheryl is able to step out of her apartment and she's standing on her balcony right now. I wish I could, because I'm stuck in my room.
Yeah, that's called investing in a really good gaming headset. That's what that is. I don't kill zombies in just any headset.
Okay, so let's go through the busyness that was our lives this weekend.
I'll start
because on Thursday night, unfortunately, you couldn't come up because of the weekend we were going to have. But on Thursday night, I went to the opening gala of Dances with Films Film Festival, where, ironically, I ran into a bevy of former guests on the show. Jennifer Fontaine, the great Jennifer Fontaine, who was on the show quite some time ago, was there. She had a short film that she was acting in that was premiering at the festival. And John and Lottie had Chastity Bites that was premiering at the festival. More on that.
How they were out at all amazes me. They're like those bunnies.
Yeah.
Everybody bunnies.
Yes, they were.
They don't stop. They do not stop.
And when we more on that specifically when we get to talking about Chastity Bites.
God bless them. Yeah.
The Dances with Film thing was, I guess it was interesting. There was a couple of very well-known character actors there. Kevin Dunn, who for people out there who don't know him by name, his biggest, most recent series of films was he's the one that plays Shia LaBeouf's dad in the Transformer movies. There was another great character actor there. And for the life of me, I cannot remember what movie he's been in so that I can look him up and get his name so that I can remember who he is. But big ass Texan guy always plays like, oh, wait a minute. Who's the guy he was the guy who played the crazy CEO of Cabletown that Jack in 30 Rock, where Jack had to kissing his ass and he was all about family.
Oh, the crazy old guy.
Yeah.
Who seemed like he was really sweet.
Right.
But he wasn't. Exactly.
But he wasn't. That guy.
Yeah.
He was there.
I don't know his name.
No, but I haven't been able to think of what to look up. I can't think of anything he's been in until
other
now.
Other than 30 Rock.
Right. That was
you actually texted me at the last minute. Somebody else was there. Leonie Lonnie.
Oh my God. Yes. I didn't know it at the time. I found out the day after, but it was Finola Hughes, which is the great Anna Lavery on General Hospital. And don't ask how I know that, but
I got no idea what you're talking about, but I know you said also that Tink was there.
No, yes, cool. Yes. Well, I guess we'll get back to that. She's actually starring in Chastity Bites. So John and Lottie were there working the press line to promote Chastity Bites. They had three of the actresses there, one of which plays Tink on The Guild. The web series,
which is totally one of my favorites.
Right. It was an interesting evening, to say the least. Lots of hustle and bustle, but it was such a Dances with Films, although it is like the second biggest film festival in LA outside of the LA Film Festival, really truly caters to the independent filmmakers. Networking was kind of interesting because you didn't really know. There was no famous people there. There was no, it is literally the John and Lottie's and Jennifer's.
Everybody's
of the world.
Breaking in.
Yeah, everybody. That was good, which leads us into that turned into us having to go to the Chastity Bites premiere was Saturday night. Should we go in chronological order or should we stick? Should we stick with this?
Well, we were supposed to go there Saturday night, but instead we went to.
Well, first. No, not instead. Let's be clear. Even if we had not had plans during the day,
it ended up instead.
The premiere.
It ended up instead.
The premiere was at 11:45 at night, and Cheryl and I are old people. We don't like to go out at night, so...
I'm sorry, what did we do during the afternoon?
Yes, no, I'm getting to that, but had we not done that, do you really foresee us
it's
having...
It's not like we took a nap all day and didn't go to the movie premiere. We
That's true.
Did what?
We went to the Hollywood Beer Pong Tournament, which was...
Where everyone was 10 years younger than us.
Yeah, we were
at least for me. And
well, let's put it in context. This was Final Draft was a sponsor. I was playing on one of the teams. There were 128 teams from just about every popular agency studio. Lionsgate had 16, CAA had 16, WME, Paradigm. The first round, my partner and I played two girls from the National Geographic Channel. We won. Thank you very much. The second round, we played two girls from Paradigm. We lost, but those girls were really good, scary good, like 21.
I was really happy to hear in the first 10 minutes of the game that ABC Family won there, won theirs within 10 minutes. Everybody else is still playing. There we're done.
Yeah.
ABC Family.
Yeah. ABC Family.
Yeah, it was interns. It was completely
assistants.
The newbies of.
But it was still a
no
very.
No contacts there. Nope. Yeah,
well,
it was fun.
I met a couple of people from Lionsgate. Not that they would further my career because they work in international
right.
distribution.
They work in cut and paste land.
Yeah, whatever. The reality was is we didn't really know what we were getting into, and we went and we found out, and it was an interesting afternoon adventure to put it.
Yes. Not going to that again. It was too hectic, chaotic.
The bar was not prepared for that kind of craziness. Like if
the bar was not prepared for people other than beer pong people. I want to get a 7-7, so get me a 7-7.
Well,
that was hard.
Well, and it's like for those of you who have ever seen Bar Rescue, it is like. The John Taffer stress test times 1,000. It was crazy. There was one bartender.
It was.
And there had to have been a good, there had to have been, what would you say? Would you say 300-400 people there? Maybe?
In the whole bar, but in his bar, there were
at least 75
people waiting for a drink. Yeah.
And then he'd get around to them and they'd be like hemming and hawing and wanting to know what they have on draft. And at one point
he was yelling at people.
At one point he lost his shit and was like, you better fucking know what you fucking want when I fucking call on you. At which point I yelled out like 7-7s. He goes, I know what you fucking want. We had already had a relationship with him early on. He just got me my drinks.
So, yeah, we didn't have that much of a problem. And then moved to a side patio with a bunch of
guys
from Final Draft.
Yep.
And a bunch of other guys.
And the other guys just so happened to be, one of them happened to be from Detroit. So that started a whole interesting, that was kind of the most fun we ended up having. We ended up hanging out with those guys for like an hour on this little patio that was maybe the size of, it felt like we were in a gym shower.
A sauna.
It was like a sauna.
Like you were in a sauna.
Without the heat.
Size.
Size of a sauna.
But you were on those
doors,
benches.
Brick ground, brick benches, 20-foot high brick walls. It was a box. It was weird. But
and to be honest, I was left there alone for a while. So
yeah, well, I tried to fight the crowd to get our tab.
Yeah, well, I didn't think your trip was pleasant at all.
No.
Out to the bar. And yeah, you actually got drinks. You went out, got drinks, came back, That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, he was,
I was like, really?
He was buddy-buddy with me at that point. So he just saw me coming and just did it.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
But you came out on the patio and said no drinks.
But yes. Well,
with your drink.
We broke the rules. I don't think anyone was caring too much. Our other final draft team won in the first round, lost in the second round. But I found out today that the people they lost to ended up going on to the finals.
Wow,
they,
that's impressive.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody did it. There is so much drinking outside of beer
pong.
Oh,
my God. These people were not just swigging those beers.
Oh, people
were
doing shots.
They were ordering drinks.
Shots.
Yes. Outside of that. God bless them.
In between rounds, players. Anyway, it was an interesting experience. We were absolutely, we would not do it again. Although... I'll fill you in off air. There might be a situation where we get stuck doing it again, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, so that brings us to Chassis Bites. They had their premiere on Saturday night, like we said, at midnight, and it sold out, which is uber impressive. The reviews have come back and it's great. Those of you following us on Facebook, I posted a link to the review that John put out, right, all the right ways for John and Lottie. So yay for them. We're going to get them back on the show, hopefully soon. And hopefully we're going to try to get them to bring, maybe a couple of the girls from the cast, and we'll do a Chassis Bites, sit down and talk about it. No plans yet on distribution for them, but I'm in touch with those guys almost daily. And as soon as I know something, you know, we'll keep everyone posted so everyone can get a chance to see the flick. And then the craziness of their lives. Lottie got up after the, you know, their premiere ended at like 2:30, and then Lottie had to get up and get on a train to go to San Diego to promote the documentary that
she is crazy.
She just finished.
She's crazy,
and she's in San Diego until like Tuesday or Wednesday.
And so, her quote online was, "I'll sleep when I die." That's her philosophy. Which is not good because I love sleeping.
It is not an overrated thing.
I need to kidnap Lottie and just make her come here and chill.
Updates on our front. We are in the forefront of rewriting on two different scripts. Cheryl is rewriting on one. And I am rewriting on the other, and then we will swap. We have interest, which is great. So hopefully there's going to be news coming out of that in the next.
And can I say how interesting it was that you and I kind of want to bring up that thing that we both missed.
Yes. Actually, let's.
That's a fucking fucktard.
Pissed
about that.
Yes, let's actually talk about how you found it. That's probably more important. Cheryl was going through the script to double check some stuff and got extremely pissed off at me because there was all of these things that she had not caught. Now, this is the beauty of why she did this the way she did it. I know people have probably heard this before, but you're always going to want to take the time to read your script out loud or have somebody read the script for you so that you can hear it. Because what happened was there was a stupid line that was kind of typoed slash just written poorly that had gotten past us. What, on three different occasions? Like three different passes through the script.
It's like reading that sentence that has the word four in it twice and you don't see it. Your eyes pass over it.
Right.
And that's what we did. We already knew that we wanted to change it, so it was changed as far as we were concerned. So we didn't
And then you actually read the script to Alex
out loud. I was like, oh my God, I'm horrified.
Yes. There is a huge benefit to having your script read out loud and exploring that and actually listening to it. Because sometimes when you read it, a lot of times when you read it to yourself, you gloss over stuff, especially if you've already read
it
before.
You already know what you meant to do.
This forces you to say every single word out loud.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And it sounds much different when you say it out loud.
So we have a new policy, if you will, that every script, when we think we're at the quote unquote final draft, we will be reading it out loud and checking it for errors before it gets sent out to anybody.
Agreed.
Yes.
It was very eye-opening.
Yeah. And it was such a stupid line. It makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. And like I said, we both missed it like 3 or 4 times in the script until Cheryl read it out loud.
And there is some dialogue that as I'm reading it, I'm like, I want to do skip ahead. So if I'm reading it and I'm doing skip ahead, that's not good.
Right.
That needs to be changed.
Right.
It's good.
Yeah. Definitely take the time to read your scripts out loud. Even, you know what, I can honestly say even to yourself or, you know, it's obviously better if you have another person there.
Yeah, as crazy as that sounds. Yeah.
You need to say every word and actually hear it. Last thing that we kind of want to go over. The Writers Guild of America today released their 101 best written TV series of all time. And I thought some of the choices were interesting. I would agree that every show deserves to be on this list. But I was curious as not necessarily the order, but some of the, ties. There was several ties. The number one greatest show according to the WGA, and this was voted on by all of the WGA members, is The Sopranos.
Is that like in the last 10 years? What's
no, all, what's of all time. Criteria? Of all time.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. So The Sopranos was number one. I'm going to go through the top 10. Sopranos was number one. Did you watch The Sopranos or no? That's not your thing.
Too disturbing. I can't hear people saying fuck every 5 minutes.
Then what are you doing talking to me on a regular basis?
No, you don't say fuck. I say fuck a lot. I have a shirt that says fucker, but I don't say to my daughter, you fucking fuck face, fucking fuck. That's how they talk.
That wasn't all the dialogue. Obviously, that couldn't have been.
Oh, my God.
All of it's the greatest written TV series of all time, according to the WGA. I'm sure it had a little bit more substance. Alrighty. Number two, Seinfeld. Number three, The Twilight Zone, which I would totally agree on that.
I still watch.
Number four.
Didn't watch Seinfeld, by the way. And you barely watch Twilight Zone, but I caught
Seinfeld mostly in rerun. I didn't watch it first run. Twilight Zone, number four, All in the Family. Five, Matt.
Okay, wait a minute. So did you watch All in the Family?
I did.
Have you watched it ever?
Yeah. When it was in syndication. I've seen most of the quote-unquote big episodes, like when they talked about abortion and when George Jefferson, his character was introduced. Yeah, you know, I mean, I know the show. I can't say that I've ever watched it in chronological order, but I've probably seen all of them at a certain point. Number five, MASH, which I've pretty much seen all of MASH. Number six, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. I'm out on that one. Did you watch Mary Tyler Moore?
Always.
Number seven, Mad Men. I've seen, you have not. Number eight, Cheers. Number nine.
Watched everyone.
Yeah, same here. Number nine, The Wire. Did you ever watch The Wire? I know we've had this conversation before.
No, that was another one. That was another one that I tried to, I watched two episodes. It got too disturbing for me. I don't like little children to be getting shot in the head.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
That's a bit of a problem. And that was the first season. The second season was horribly boring. Every person I've ever talked to says you got to push through, and it's the third and fourth and fifth seasons that make it amazing. I don't know.
No, sorry. You had your chance.
And number 10, which you are watching right now, is The West Wing.
Which is unfortunate for people who are talking to me at this moment, because I am literally watching The West Wing. That's what's on the background while I'm working, while I'm doing whatever. So anybody sends an email to me and I'm like, I West Wing it. I told Manny today, somebody wrote me and I'm like, oh, he's going to be so sorry that I'm watching West Wing because he's getting such a lawyer, congressman, chief of staff response. That's going to happen.
Yeah, totally did. I kind of just want to bop around a little bit and just kind of go through and point out a couple of others. Breaking Bad comes in at 13. Arrested Development comes in at 16. Daily Show comes in at 17.
Okay. Those are all you expect them. Give me a shocker.
Okay. You know, here's the thing. Here's where it wasn't really a shocker per se, but, let me find some of the weird ties. Okay. So tied for 43 is Downton Abbey, Law and Order, and 30 something.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Hmm.
Here's,
I would have thought 30 something could stand on its own, but okay.
Right. Here's another one. Tied for 50 is the UK version of The Office, The Good Wife, and The Colbert Report.
Okay, another weird one, I think. No, right?
No, totally. Tied for 60, Freaks and Geeks and Moonlighting.
Did you watch Freaks and Geeks?
I did. No, I don't think I saw all of it, but well, Freaks and Geeks was only one season, right?
I have no idea.
I think
you're on your own on that one. I didn't watch it.
Okay, yeah, I've seen most of Freaks and Geeks. Tied for 60.
Well, you know, I've seen all of Moonlighting. I just don't even understand the comparison. So.
Well, wait a minute. Well, see, okay. Now, technically, these aren't. It's got to be based on number of votes. So.
Right.
It's just an odd comparison that they would receive the same number of votes.
Agreed.
And wait, because it gets a lot weirder. Tied for 63 is Everybody Loves Raymond and South Park.
Wow.
Which
two
is not
separate sides of the spectrum there.
Would not. Yes.
Total family show and a total pervert show.
Okay. I'll give you one that's even weirder than that one. Tied for 66. The U.S. version of The Office and Dexter.
Stop. Stop. How is that? That can't even be the same people, obviously.
No, obviously. It can't. No, right. I agree.
It's not the same people who watch that.
Well, you watch Dexter in The Office, so technically.
Okay, I guess. Yeah, wow, that's weird. Yeah, but nobody's like me. That's what I think. That is so odd to me.
Here's another odd one. Number 71, 24, The Shield, and Roseanne.
Okay, 24, Shield, I get. Okay, those are all shows that I kind of watch. Not The Shield, but 24, I did watch Roseanne. Only because it was my family life.
Yeah.
Now, verbatim.
This one you're going to love. Tied for 79, Upstairs, Downstairs, which is I think it's a PBS show where it's all about the upper class and then the lower class that live underneath. It's kind of like a Downton Abbey.
Yeah, that's always yummy.
Okay. Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Monty Python's Flying Circus, and Star Trek The Next Generation, all tied for 79.
Kind of okay with that because they're all in my realm.
Yes, but they're
what
I mean,
that I watch.
Yes, but they can't be more completely different from one another. I mean, that's serious.
It's the generation. That is a complete generation statement.
Right.
That was what was out. Monty Python, Star Trek. Those were all out at that moment.
Tied for 86, Justified and Sergeant Bilko.
No, I don't get that at all. I don't watch Sergeant Bilko, by the way. But we do watch Justified because it's awesome.
Okay, and then the last one, which I think is funny. 98, tied for 98, the late night show with David Letterman. Technically only season one. Louie. And and the original, The Fugitive, the original Fugitive TV show. And
so that just shows different genres are repeating
Or I would say generation too. I mean,
yeah, you're going old to young to talk show to old series to new series.
And coming in last place, Oz. Which I can't imagine you ever watch Oz. Yeah.
Nope.
That is not your cup of tea. Such a good show though. Fucked up, but good.
Yeah, I don't, you know, at least on Dexter, they do something with the killing. It means something. It's actually bad people. He hopes always.
Yeah.
But people just killing people for the, cause it's 2 o'clock and it's a Wednesday.
That's killing time. That.
That's just doing it for the sake of doing it. Not making it mean anything.
So yeah, fun times. I will put a link to that if anybody wants to check it out. I also posted it on Facebook, so make sure you're following us on Twitter and liking our Facebook page and all the other good stuff.
And we saw Star Trek.
Oh yeah, we saw Star Trek, and the 3D was amazing. Juan was great.
Actually stayed until his name came on the screen.
For those of you who have not seen it and don't want to be spoiled, the things that we would want to talk about for Star Trek deal with the ending and sort of major plot points. So I will refrain from having that discussion on air. But let's just say
not ruin that movie yet.
But let's just put it this way. They did a really great job of sort of throwing it back to the old series and the original TV series. And I think
he actually did a really good job walking like Kirk, the swagger. Oh,
yeah.
That Kirk had walking into the bridge.
Yes.
He totally had it down. I was pretty impressed.
Absolutely. So yeah, we'll probably talk about that again at a certain point, maybe when it comes out on video. But agreed. I think that's pretty much it.
I think it is.
All right. Well then, for breaking in this week, I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Till next week.
Peace out.